Welcome to this special Catholic Sisters Week edition of Flowcast, the Springfield Dominican Sisters podcast for the life of the world. I'm Sister Beth Murphy. Early in the afternoon of October 7th in 1972, 10 Springfield Dominican Sisters gathered on the shore of White Iron Lake in Minnesota's boundary waters, awaiting the return of a boat to ferry them to the mainland. It was Saturday, the Feast of the Holy Rosary, and though they had enjoyed their overnight holiday, they were anxious to return to Duluth, where they lived and served, in time for the evening Mass. But they did not make it to Mass that day. The conversation you will hear now between Sister Margaret Greeter and Sister Marie-Michelle Hackett is given context through a letter written shortly after the incident by Sister Mary Pauletta Overbeck, who was among all the sisters most in danger that day. Her words are voiced by Sister Adele Heumann. Two clarifications are needed. Because memory shifts over time, the story Sister Marie-Michelle shares that involves Sister Mary Kristen Reaver was misremembered. The actual person involved in that incident was Sister Judith Curran. And because she reverted to using her baptismal name later in life, the Sister Antoninus mentioned in the story is none other than Sister Margaret Greeter. We've chosen Catholic Sisters Week to share this story because it's a tale of human kindness and resilience, our dependence on God and the power of prayer. Now, Miracle on the Lake.
What do you remember about being assigned to Holy Rosary in Duluth?
Well, my assignment, I had always heard such good things about Duluth, so I was very excited about going to Duluth.
And I was not excited about going to Duluth because it was so far away. I thought I was going to the end of the world, and then I was assigned after that to California, and that was the end of the world. But what do you remember about Duluth, those years that we were there?
Well, like I say, I was there 9 years. It was wonderful. Monsignor invited us out to his cabin for a weekend. And finally, we were always so busy. But Sister decided Rosary weekend, because we had Monday off, would be a good weekend. So the 10 of us, after school on Friday, piled into the car, two cars, drove up to Ely, to White Iron Lake. And that's where the cabin was, on White Iron Lake.
And that's the boundary waters.
On the Canadian border up there. Mm-hmm.
Monsignor Popish from St. Michael's has a brother who has a cabin on an island in White Iron Lake up near the Canadian border. The only way to reach it is by boat. There is no means of communication to the island. We, all the sisters from Holy Rosary School and St. Michael's, left Duluth after school on Friday evening and reached our destination about 6 p.m. Monsignor's bachelor brother John was there to transport us in 3 loads. He was to return the next day at 1:15, so we could get back to Duluth for the 5 p.m. Mass, for we had religious education classes on Sunday a.m. We laughed, we talked, we prayed, we ate, we walked amid God's wonderland, untouched by human beings, and flooded with the glories of fall leaves, contrasting with the evergreens, white birch, blue skies, brilliant sunshine, and shadows on the beautiful lake.
The only way to get to the cabin was by boat. no road, no telephone, no cell phones at that time. So we had to go by boat. And it's a little bit rather small boat, so we went three and three and four to make the 10. And so we got over there and had a wonderful evening, played cards and all that. And then the next morning we had a nice breakfast. Then we went out two by two and tramping through the woods.
And I remember that you dressed up like a man and scared us. You jumped out of the woods. And I was like, oh my God, how can somebody be on this island? It's, you know, it's so remote.
And you turned completely white. And Paula said, oh, that Antonina is playing her tricks.
Yeah, I was so glad she identified who you were. But I remember then that I think we were going back early because you had to teach catechism.
We had to get to Mass, so because we taught religion classes all Sunday morning. But after I scared you people, I sat on a big rock and had meditation. At the end of meditation, I said, oh, God, this has been wonderful, but nothing exciting has happened. I have never prayed that way again.
And so I remember that we decided that it was time to leave, and it was a beautiful day.
Yes.
It wasn't really cold out.
Just wonderful.
Saturday afternoon, we had all our luggage packed, and we were having our last prayer session together on the beach as John's motorboat putted into shore. He joined us for the closing hymn. We loaded the boat, and Sister Mary Josephine, Sister Pauletta, Sister Margaret Mary, and Sister Mary Antoninus climbed aboard.
Four of you decided to out first.
Yeah, three were in the boat, and I was shoving the boat off, and I said, oh, I'm going to jump in too. On the boat, there was Sister Pauletta, Josephine, Mary Margaret Snelton, and myself, and John
Popish.
So there were four of us.
And then the driver.
And the driver,
which made five.
Mm-hmm.
And you people took off. And what I remember about it is where the cabin was, you could not see the other side of the lake.
That's great.
So you had to go through the woods to a clearing to see the other side of the lake. So we were on the shore waiting for them to come back, which took about maybe 20, 25 minutes.
But John had told us. He says it's rough out there, so it will take longer than usual.
And see, we didn't know that, so we figured maybe in 25 minutes they would be back.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you tell us what happened.
Well, first we got sprayed with water, and you laugh. And you were laughing and waving goodbye to us, and we tried to get Martha Mary's yarn just not to get wet. We went around the bend to the big lake, and it was really rough, and we were doing fine.
John had said we might get a little wet, and it might take a little longer because the lake was a little rough. The trip normally takes about 7 to 10 minutes. We laughed and said we wouldn't mind. We hadn't gone far before we knew what he meant, and we laughed heartily as the water sprayed in our faces. Then the waves began to slap our faces as they crashed over the front of the boat. And we became soaked as the boat began to fill with water. It all happened so quickly. The boat must have filled, easing us into the water, and then capsized.
All of a sudden, a big wave took us. I mean, and we kept yelling, hang on to the boat, whatever you do, hang on to the boat. So we did, and hanging on to the boat, somehow it capsized. What we didn't know, a nice anchor fell out. So that kept us in one spot, which was a miracle.
The next thing we knew, Sister Antoninus was astride the capsized boat. Sister Josephine and Mary Margaret were hanging onto the front side of the boat. John was holding on to the back. Sister Pauletta was missing. She had been caught under the boat, the last to surface. When she surfaced, she immediately sensed the concern for her. She had come up at the back end of the boat, which was weighed down by the motor. We saw the luggage and the gasoline can float away. Oranges were bobbing on the surface of the water. All were afloat and no life jackets.
So here we are, and I, in the balance turning over, I got on top of the boat. In trying to hang on to the boat, Sister Pauletta was under the boat, which is a safe place to be because there's an air pocket there between the boat and the water. And she was safe there, but she meandered herself out to the side. That's when we knew that she was alive and with us, because under the boat we did not know.
You didn't see her under there, so you didn't know where she was.
We realized our plight, but there was never any panic. Maybe the Master didn't calm the stormy waves as he did for the apostles, but he did give us a feeling of great calm and peaceful serenity on the inside. There was such a deep concern for each other. There wasn't any conversation to speak of, but each, in her own way and time, prayed aloud, asking God to save us. We praised him, we thanked him, we petitioned him. When someone would ask, "Are we coming any closer?" Sister Antoninus would assure us we were.
So here I am, riding the boat, and then Josephine starts to let go, and I reach out and grab her with my right hand, and we're bouncing along, and Mary Margaret said, "Oh, I've got to try to swim or do something. I can't just stay here and let it happen." So she tried one more time to get a hold of the boat, and I grabbed her with my left hand. So here I am riding the Bronco with no hands. And that was the most beautiful prayer meeting I ever attended. It was complete surrender because there was no chance of surviving. And we each said our contrition and praise God. I even thank God for a drowning death because I had heard it was easy. All of a sudden, I said, "God, if you're pleased with our work in Duluth, you've got to save us." At that time, I had complete faith. I think I could have walked on the water, but the community needed me. So we stayed there, bouncing up and down. And then a truck came along up to the shore. I said, "Oh, somebody's coming."
We were in the water about 45 minutes. Each was encouraged to hang on a little longer. There was no fear for meeting our God. None of us knows all that happened. We told God, if he were pleased with our work in Duluth, to please save us. Then Sister Antonina saw a truck drive up to the shore, and we started calling for help. We know now, 1, the wind was against us, 2, the man has a hearing problem, and 3, it was the first time the couple had binoculars in their car. Coincidence?
And the couple got out of the truck and looked at the lake. They had planned to watch birds, go bird watching. And they saw the lake and knew it, and they said, in no way would they go out on the lake today. So they're walking back, and we all screamed. They got a mouthful of water every time. But the man who was hard hearing heard us. And he said, "Did you hear that?" And she said, "No." And she had binoculars to look at the birds. So she got that out and found us surviving on their boat out there. So I said, "Oh, help is on the way. But it seemed like forever for them to unload their boat, and here they come out on that lake, and they get there. And they got, Mary Margaret got in the boat, and I got in the boat. But Josephine and Paulette cannot, they have no energy left to get into the boat. So we had to drag them along the side of the boat. And because they're dragging them, we were afraid of catching them, their clothes or something, in the motor.
In the motor, yeah.
We had to row, and it was too hard to row to the mainland, so we rowed back to another little island. We got on the island, and Paulette collapsed. And Josephine cries. She says, Paulette just died. I said, God is going to save us all. So we piled together, and the man went back and got John and brought him in. And he said he was going to go find a bigger boat and to take it in. He could not find a bigger boat, but he found another little boat. So we loaded on the boat, got to the mainland, and the lady was trying to tell us how to get to the hospital. And finally she said, I'll just go with you, and then my husband can bring John in after they get the boat loaded.
After the Cercenis brought John to the island, they went for help. Finally, they returned with another boat. The two boats took us all to the mainland. Sister Paulette had to be carried both times. Sister Josephine, during all this, had held on to the car keys, the ring of which she had fastened to her finger. The keys to St. Michael's car went to the bottom of the lake, but Sister Marie Michelle, luckily, had another set with her on the island.
We were waiting on the shore,
yes,
and 25 minutes went by, and pretty soon it was an hour went by, and I think it was probably about an hour and a half when I said, I'm going to go see if I can see something. So I went through the woods, and I remember that I had a scarf on and I had gloves, even though, because it was getting later in the afternoon, so it was cooler. And when I got to the opening where I could see across the lake, I saw the boat capsized. So I thought all of you had drowned. I turned around and ran back through the woods, and Kristen was with me. And I kept throwing stuff. I took my scarf off and threw it. I took my gloves off and threw it because it was catching on the branches. And Kristen was behind me picking everything up that I was throwing. And I went back to him and I said, we just saw the boat and it capsized.
I remember they said that Helen Michael had cracked the Bible and opened it, and she said, no. And she was encouraged to read it. It was from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, I think. So, in faith, all these have died.
Oh, my God. I don't remember that. And it was hours. And we didn't know how people were going to find out where we were, because we thought if few people drowned, nobody would know where we were. And pretty soon, we heard a motorboat coming.
They could hear motorboats. The boats were circling the capsized boat, presumably skin divers looking for bodies. By now it was 3 p.m., and Sister Martha Mary announced that if no one came by 4 p.m., that we would have to try to find the cabin key and get prepared to stay. Then came a welcome sight, a boat rounding the turn into the cove. The two young men were smiling, but we were afraid it was just to give us courage to bear the news. Imagine our relief when they shouted, "Everyone is saved! We've come for you!"
The man kept yelling from out in the water, "Don't worry, they're all safe."
Yeah.
But I remember how scared we were when we got in the boat, and they took us around close to the shore before they took us across because it was still choppy, and we only went a couple at a time.
Even though the wind was calm by now, they took only two sisters in each load. Sister Mary Kristen and Sister Martha Mary were the last to leave the island.
Then when we got to the other side, we went to the hospital.
We arrived at the hospital shortly after 3 o'clock and were all taken to emergency. The nurses cut the clothes from Sister Pauletta, pumped her stomach twice, and gave her oxygen. She regained consciousness about 4:10. The others were checked and treated and clothed in the adjoining room.
About that time, I went out, and the lady was not waiting for us there. So I thought, oh, we don't even know who she is. And then I heard a commotion over here, and I said, oh, and I looked, there she is in the middle of the commotion. And I found out that after they got the boat loaded and ready to come in, the man had a massive heart attack.
Oh, I remember that.
Word then came that Mr. Cerceni had collapsed on the side of the road with a massive heart attack. He was brought to the hospital and was in intensive care for 2 weeks. He is recuperating, thanks be to God, and all the prayers that have been offered for him.
And I passed through the door, I saw him. He looked really gray. So I went to the sisters. I said, "We've got to pray like we've never prayed before. The man next door is dying of a heart attack." The doctor told him, "You can thank the sisters for your life." Another miracle happened.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Sister Mary Margaret stayed at the hospital along with Sister Pauletta. Sister Josephine and Sister Antoninus, after calling Monsignor Popish in Duluth, drove the car back to await and meet the other sisters. You never saw such a reunion. Mrs. Cerceni, in spite of her deep concern for her husband, was there, as was Sister Margaret Mary and Sister Pauletta, walked out to rejoin the group. She, too, laughed and wept with us. About 7 o'clock, reunited, weary, clothed in hospital attire, the two cars started for home. We sang Praise Him, prayed, talked, lapsed into periods of deep, grateful silence.
And it was a great reunion.
Oh, yes. Yes. And then I remember all the way home. I mean, we'd pray, and then all of a sudden we'd go into a very deep silence. And then when we got home, everybody wanted to call.
Yeah, and I, being very emotional, cried and cried. It was hard to believe.
Sister Marie Michelle became very nauseated as she drove home and had to remain at Rosary for some time until she could get the stomach settled. We were 10 grateful, exhausted sisters as we sank into our beds that night. Words cannot express our innermost feelings. Those you must get personally from any of the 10 of us. As Sister Josephine says, one's values change with such an experience. Material things seem so unimportant. We feel almost as if a new life has been given to us, sort of living on borrowed time. Mr. Cerceni is recuperating nicely. He has received a telegram of commendation from the governor of Minnesota. He is a baptized Catholic, but was never raised Catholic. He thanks and thanks us, as if we had done him a favor by letting him save us. Mrs. Cerceni, too, has been so beautiful, never a tinge of bitterness, because we came out with not even a cold. And her husband has had to suffer so much. He is truly a modern Good Samaritan. He could have passed by. Do you know what drifted ashore? The heaviest piece of luggage, which contained a large Jerusalem Bible, an office book, a large candle, and the liturgies we had used. Another coincidence? God truly has the whole world in his hand. How blessed we are that we are his in a special way. Thank you again for all your solicitude and prayers. Gratefully yours in him, the Duluth Dominicans.
Oh my goodness. That was how many years ago?
52, I think. we'll be 52 in October. So every day I thank God for the gift of life.
And I remember that the woman's name, her middle name was Aura.
Her first name was Aura.
Aura.
Cerceni.
Which means prayer.
Uh-huh.
And that was such just the whole thing, just the whole way that you were rescued and how they just happened to be there, and it was a miracle.
When they would no way go out on the lake that day because of the weather, and they didn't think of themselves, they just surrendered and went. That was a beautiful experience that I never want to see again, but I thank God. I thank God for it, because this has truly deepened my faith to no end.
And you know, you don't think about it very often, but just remembering it now still brings tears to me, because it was such an emotional
I remember
event.
The middle of the night, Pauletta, either, I don't know if she heard me or I heard it, and we, there was a bathroom between our two rooms, and we saw each other. We just had a big hug in the middle of the night. It was just, and another time I woke up, just hallelujah, just to be alive.
I just remember that it was, the hospital was in a small town, and, you know, when all these nuns came in and habits, it was like, oh, my goodness.
Well, Sister Josephine and I, they took all of our clothes because we were soaking wet, and we had hospital gowns and hospital shoes. We had saved two black veils somehow. So we're walking out of the hospital with the hospital gowns and black veils. People are laughing. And
another thing I remember, it was about a week later that, I don't know if somebody from your house called us or said, you know, today would have been our funeral.
When Josephine and I got it assigned 2 years later, I had to go and see that place one more time.
Oh, I never went
there. I mean, I had to go back and see the couple. We were going to visit the couple to tell them goodbye. And when we got near the place, I went, oh, Josephine was so angry. She did not want to see that place. And I had to see it because I couldn't believe it was real. Too much to be real, and I had to see for myself.
Well, I can only say, Sister, that that was truly one of the miracles that we can't forget.
Oh, amen.
Yes.
And I thank God every day for the gift of life.
things like that.
I can
like
never
that.
Forget it.
Uh-huh. And, well, thank you for jarring my memory because, you know, sometimes you try to forget. Uh-huh. And I do know that every October 7th, I do think about it because that was the day, the Feast of the Rosary. Just beautiful. It's really a celebration that you're celebrating 75 and I'm celebrating 60 together.
50, uh-huh.
It's, to be honest with you, I mean, I wasn't part of the boating accident, but I didn't think I'd be here when I was 81.
Oh, and 95.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
And thank you.
To learn about what happened to the 10 sisters who experienced the miracle on the lake, and to see a photo of Mr. and Mrs. Cerceni, visit flowcastlisten.org. There you can subscribe to Flowcast to receive each edition in your email inbox. Thank you for listening, and thank you to our team behind the scenes, editor and sound engineer Brandon Durham and marketing guru Jean Ann Miller. Until next time, God bless. I'm Sister Beth Murphy.